And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
There, now.
Can you hear me?
Hello. The mic is not going out.
I can hear you, Ernie.
Oh, you can? Well, I'm doing my head, whatever. All right, so you're listening to the show?
LRN,
yay, you can hear me. Yeah, we have, see, every time you stop, everything changes. Because. All right. What we're going to do is we have Mike Roth on. We're going to drive through today to get to where we need to go in Washington, but we held off to do Mike Roth. He's running for sheriff in La Paz County, which is where Quartzsite is. Now, we did, Quartzsite's got a push pin in it. Quartzsite. And the reason was because. It's the same old, sustainable development of small communities of we rule you and how much money can we make. And this has been a thing since the early 90s when we started to realize what was going on in Florence and which is where the prison is in a big federal prison in Arizona. And Apache Junction is a big part of the East Valley, way out on the edge of the valley. And then Quartzsite's turn, and there's a bunch of other communities like that. And it got a lot of international attention when a woman got up to speak about all the bills that they had added onto and the water faucets, how many faucets you have, and RVs that come in, and how much money we can make. And you'll have a town of 1,500 or so, I mean, if that, and then all of a sudden, in the winter, 100,000 RVs show up, or used to, and it just got, it was a fun time, and our kids would go, and there would be all kinds of different shows, and it was called a rock and gym show or something, so it's like a big giant park and swap out in the desert, and many of them, and whenever there's money to be made, here comes the politicians. Well, we started to describe what was going on, and the people there started to scratch the surface and being taken advantage of and wanted to fight back and so on. And it just came into a big crap show. And a lot of one of the main activists there, Mike Roth, has decided to run for county sheriff there. And it's of course, you get into who you're up against and what their history is and who benefits and how. And I've gone scratched on the surface quite a bit and dug down and got deeper, and okay, I get it's like we're everywhere else. But it's a really good example in a small, itty-bitty living space to see how it really works. So, Facebook got involved. Mike, I got you there.
Yes, I hear you. Do you see me okay? Am I in
No,
in
we're
the
not
shot?
Doing the video stream because that'll really mess everything
okay.
up.
All right. So, all right, gotcha.
So go ahead and explain to us, fill in the spaces where, I kind of describe what was going on. There's a lot more to that, of course. But you're running for county sheriff, and I want to skip to the end and tell them what happened with Facebook.
Yeah, I'm going through my campaign here, picking up momentum, meeting lots of people, talking to lots of current and former cops who know my opponent, and just making some real headway. We've produced a lot of videos. They're all on my website, rothforsheriff.com, and we'll have more today. But anyway, you know, we're just talking to people, finding out what's going on, exposing the corruption, talking about my opponent's federal investigation where he was found guilty of conduct on becoming an officer for having sex while on duty and not being disciplined for it. And right now he's under under investigation with Arizona POST. POST stands for Peace Officer Standards and Training Board. So anyway, we're just moving along. A few days before the election, I wake up in the morning to do my normal Facebook routine, and in midstream, I get a message saying, you've been banned, and banned permanently. There was no appeal, nothing. I'm done. Everything I've ever posted on Facebook is gone.
Okay. I have to understand what you think their motivation would be. I mean, what you say, you know, I don't know, black lives don't matter or something. I mean, what did you do?
You know, I've been in Facebook jail before, and normally, you know, I did something they disagree with, but I did nothing this time. It was just a summary decision. You're done. You're gone. I wasn't in the middle of a Facebook argument. I wasn't, you know, going back and forth with anybody. It was just literally in the middle of my responding to somebody. I was cut off. I was just shut down. I was disabled.
Well, how does that communicate to you? They say, you know, here's your postcard, a carrier pigeon, an email, a text message, and what does it say?
What did the message say from Facebook?
Well, I don't know. What did you even get? It was a an email, or was it on your Facebook account?
No, it was on my screen at the moment. I was texting to somebody, someone on Facebook, and it just said, "You have been banned from Facebook." And normally, there's an appeal process. I was thinking it was a normal Facebook jailing process, and I went to try and appeal it, and they said the decision is final. It's permanent. And so I asked my wife to go and check and see what she saw on Facebook of me. And she goes, you're not there. You're gone. That's it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and you lived on Facebook. You're all Facebooked up. You had the IV taken out of your vein. Is that how it feels? I mean, what's up?
It feels like the guys that make a living on YouTube or Facebook that get demonetized. It feels like that. And, you know, I use Facebook for a lot of things. You know, I like to buy, collect, trade, and fix up old vehicles. All my old vehicle groups are gone. I also raise my own livestock here. All my animal groups, gone. I'll have to find, you know, websites to reconnect. But they say there's no recourse. There's nothing I can do about it. It's a permanent, final decision. They said the decision is final.
Well, this, you know, that's interesting that they would say, they go, and it's final. For you, it's final. We have a thing, and it's final. You're going to do it, but it's final. We did a final thing. I mean, the fact that they would even say that, how do they say, do you have the screenshot of what they sent you?
No, I did not screenshot it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'd be interested in how that, you know, what it says. You know, they're going, and it's final. You've been, you know, slapped around backhanded, and we don't like you none too much. And do you, well, you've said you've been in Facebook jail before. How many times?
A couple times. I had one 30-day suspension and a couple of 1 week, maybe 2 weeks. I don't remember exactly. But, and those were a while ago.
Waiting for Super Bowl time. When there's an election. Yeah. All right, there's a lot of stuff I want to talk to you about. Maybe get up. So, you know, we'll do that when we come back to the break here. Just a little bit.
Rhodes. It's the Ernest Hancock Show, where we're going, there aren't any roads.
As you travel west, I have to get up earlier. I like this 9 to noon thing. That was kind of cool. But now it's getting to where it's going to be 6 to 9. Yay. But, you know, the daylight savings, it changes, will be 7. So, you know, yeah, you do what you got to do. But then I get my a lot of my day left over. Yeah, I get up early and get some stuff done. This is, I want to explain to the audience who Mike is and how we know him and what he's done. We're going to take the time today to do that because Quartzsite is a very, very, very small desert town out in the middle, but it has a lot of unique traits that, you know, put a pushpin in it for they, them, those. And we'll get into that, and we'll talk about the history and such. But I wanted to focus on, we'll take the time, we're just going to yak at it, we're all going to learn something. Because Facebook has been a dopamine, serotonin delivering, you know, push button rat cage thing that has just dominated people's lives. And it's interesting to see someone that uses it so much, relies on it, had, you know, a presence on it, wraps their life around it, runs for office, and then right before the election, they're permanent deleted and is taken off. Well, I know a lot of guys this happens to in video communicating on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. You know, and they're like, oh, I was banned. Well, what'd you expect? What'd you think was going to happen? Now, I go to Mike and I say, Mike, you didn't expect this to happen? Never, ever would they ever take down your Facebook?
Yeah, I didn't think I'd get permanently banned. I thought maybe jailed, you know. That's been my experience. But
well,
no,
what's
jailed
mean? What does that mean?
That means they put you in time out for a period of time. It could be a day or a week or a month has been my longest jail sentence on Facebook. And when you're in jail, you can see, you can still go look, you can read what people are saying, you can give likes and thumbs up, but you can't comment and you can't post. This ban is completely different. I have disappeared. It's like I never existed on Facebook.
But everything you can I've still see posted, you can still see stuff or no?
No, I am done. All I can see is when I go on my wife's Facebook to see things, and I can see what my haters are saying about me, all the lies they're making up now. But no, I can't see anything. I'm done. They permanently banned me. I mean, they did what they said they did.
All right. Well, I'm sure that you're just, oh, and so then I get a call from Mike. Hey, man, they banned me. Well, you know, you were destined for this since, like, years ago. I mean, you know, what do you think was going to happen? You know, so I don't know if there's any recourse there should be or not, because, you know, they're probably a couple things, do whatever, but they get the benefits of saying that they're a platform that doesn't have any liability, and then they do stuff like this to individuals and certainly candidates. And I'm going, okay. And you think you're doing well in your county race for sheriff. That may have had something to do with it, you know. So I don't know. I guess there's no recourse. You know, you don't depend on these guys so much. You have alternative platforms. You know, promote another. See, this is where we're at, Mike. We're up against mandatory vaccinations. That's my main thing while we're doing this trip. And and also, if it pleases the crown, may I occupy my own land. You know, you can, you know, put your tent in front of City Hall, but if you do it on your own land out in the desert in Quartzsite without a permission slip from the man, you go to jail. You see, you feel me?
Yeah.
So I'm going, there is something wrong fundamentally with all this. There is going to be, you rent everything, you don't own anything, and everything's leaned by the government. This is what's coming. This is what's here. So I'm just going, I just want people to understand where we're at and how did it get there. And the solution is, you know, I ignore you. I mean, you know, I'm going to do what I want. But the going through this process, we need to have a platform that we can count on for investment of time and effort like you did into your Facebook account. And right. I look at and I go, yeah, we're pulling off of YouTube. I mean, we're still there, but, you know, I just didn't post or do anything for years, since 9/10 until this last January. And the reason was is because we had places and things that we had set up on interplanetary file sharing that is where it's more permanent. It's not as populated, it's not as convenient, but that was not what we were worried about. It was the infrastructure for people to have all of your files and data so that it didn't just get deleted with the flip of a switch from a platform. That's what we were doing. So when we had it ready, we go, hey, everybody, we're back on Facebook and YouTube to tell you, we're over there. Okay. Well, that lasted about 6 weeks. And then they're going, no, you're not allowed. Oh, okay, that's what I thought. So we haven't been banned or any of that stuff or anything, but, you know, they do their shadow and all their stuff. So I never counted on them from the beginning, but so many people did. Now we're in a situation to where, okay, there's going to be a social media of the future. Is it going to be Library, Odyssey, Minds, Steam, Parler, you know, Float, you know, we have a lot of luck with Float, you know, all these different things, and we go, all right, within days that we get to Washington, that's what we're focusing on. We finally got a lot of the infrastructure of the bus done and this and that, and we got to tweak all these old whatever the hell and get new mixers and whatever we got to do to make this more streamlined. But the thing is that then where do you put it? And that's what I need help with from the audience. Okay, here? All right. Well, I talked to the owner, CEO, the head guy for years on, going, is it ready? Now? Is now the time? Is now the time that we put it, instead of having the YouTube logo on the back of the bus, we put the, you know, Float logo, or the Odyssey logo, or the Library logo, or the Minds logo, or, so, you know, or several of them, which ones and why? And one of the big things is exactly what you're dealing with now. They just turn you off. If they can, they, them, those, they will. They sure as hell want to. And if they're not in control of the button, they'll get in control of the button. Because YouTube didn't used to be GooTube, it wasn't Google, you know, until it was. So now when we come back, I want you, Mike, to think about it. You had a day or two to think about this. And I'm like, what is it that you actually are trying to accomplish, you want to do, and all of a sudden now, how important is it that it stay there, that it be counted on? And you have a web page too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So when we come back, we're going to hit into the break here. So I took that all up. But I want people to understand why I wanted to talk to Mike. Here is a perfect example of a successful Movers community activist that pissed him off and then running for sheriff and bringing up a lot of stuff of how the corruption works and who these people are and everything, and then what happens. Yeah? You thought you had free speech? Not on our platform, you don't, because it's ours. And you're done. Done at Super Bowl time. Is this a neon flashing example of freaking I told you so? Just a little bit. I had to say it. I just had to say it. I've been telling you so.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Mike Roth, out in Quartzsite, Arizona. Need to be living space. Okay, I got a telegram from the show here from a friend of mine that lives out in Tonopah. And he said, tell Mike to rejoice! Proudly banned from Facebook. That's the new gold standard for signs, okay?
Yeah.
So, proudly banned from Facebook. You know, this is, but that's not how, when it first happened. I can imagine that how much you put in to this presence, and they go, wow, we got them now. And there's some, you know, social justice warrior, somebody sitting there going, or they got direction, you know, from this law enforcement thing. you know? So this is, I'm interested in why do you think it happened? You weren't doing, well, I wasn't doing anything at the moment, but what are you doing in general to cause them such attention?
Well, I've been shining light on my opponent's, I don't know if I can call it a crime spree, but he's certainly an amoral character. It came out during the course of my campaign that, you know, he's under investigation by Arizona Post. Post stands for Peace Officer Standards and Training Board. This is a state agency that licenses and certifies all law enforcement.
Certifies them for what? You know, for what? Bonding or insurance or something? Or that they can be hired?
So you can get hired as a law enforcement. You have to be certified in order to get a job with any agency.
And the certification criteria is what?
Well, first off, you got to go through the academy. You have to answer a 10-page questionnaire. It's called your personal history statement application for employment with law enforcement. You know, there's a little bit of a background check. I don't know how much. I mean, based on what I see, what we hire out here in Quartzsite, I don't know how much of a background check they do. You know, Post is the state agency that's supposed to weed out the bad cops, you know, and they do. They fire cops all the time. And if you go on Post's website, they have an area on their website called Integrity Bulletins. And they list all the people that they've disciplined, fined, suspended, or just outright terminated. And many of them have lost their careers for things much, much less than what my opponent has already been found guilty of. There was a federal investigation into his conduct while he was the chief of police at the Colorado River Indian Tribe up north of us here. And, for you know, we thought something was suspicious when he was in a hurry to come back to Quartzsite. You know, Quartzsite's a hole for law enforcement. This is where people come to retire, to finish out their career so they can get their retirement. And all of a sudden, he's the chief of police up at Crit, and he wants to come back to Quartzsite. You know, Crit has a huge area. It's a sovereign nation. Has, you know, he has a lot more freedom and liberty and power up there.
So what happened up there?
All of a sudden, he was in the middle of there was a sex scandal. We got caught having sex while on duty with one of his officers' girlfriend. Ah. And, found guilty of conduct unbecoming an officer for having sex while on duty. And in the middle of the
investigation. With a deputy's girlfriend.
With a deputy's girlfriend. That's right.
Yeah, you know, these people have guns and stuff, man.
Yeah, and they have the power to throw people in cages for, you know, possession of a leaf or, you know, having a license plate out and, you know, things like that. He's above the law, always has been. This is not a new thing with my opponent. He has a history of hooking up with young girls, and he's still doing it to this day.
How old is he?
He's 46 or 48.
Okay, so... So here's a guy that's just, he's kind of authoritarian, I'm narcissist if I gotten a badge and taking, I don't care. So right. You started bringing this stuff up when?
In the middle of my campaign about, people came to me, obviously, it's, you know, they want to point out the corruption that they know. A victim on the reservation reached out to me and told me this whole story about this sex scandal at Crit. And I said, really, do you have the investigation? Well, in fact, I do. So I got to read the investigation. I didn't get to keep it because there was family names and they wanted to keep that just out of the papers. And finally was able to convince this individual to let me scan it and put it on my website. And the entire 69-page investigation is on my website at rothforsheriff.com.
Okay, now wait. Let me interrupt and ask a question. Where is your website hosted?
It's a WordPress website, so I think it's on hosted on GoDaddy, I believe. I'd have to ask my webmaster.
Yeah, see, this is, you know, the next level of here they come. Then it's going to be a level of the DNS naming system of the numbers of the whatever. Then it's going to be the ISPs of whether you even have access to. you know, post stuff up or go look at stuff. I mean, this is not going to stop. You know, until we extricate ourselves from their grid, you're susceptible to their grid. I just want to point this out, okay? All right. So you got a web page that has it all on there, and people start seeing it. And then was it ever banned from being forwarded on Facebook? Where, I mean, you're like, you have links to it, and they go, you can't sort that link. No, that's a bad link. That's a bad link.
I had none of that. All of my YouTubes were posted on Facebook and stayed there, and, you know, got lots of hate from, you know, my supporters, fans, you know, calling me a mudslinger. And I said, how can I be a mudslinger? I'm just posting the facts. This is what happened. This is what he was found guilty of. I'm not calling him a predator. Others are. You know, I mean, this is a guy.
Okay, now you have a YouTube account too, right?
Yes, and I'm expecting those to go.
Right. See, these don't act, you know, by themselves. They're running packs or something. Okay?
Yes.
So the next thing, do you have a Twitter account?
I don't.
Okay.
I should probably get one now, but, you know, even Twitter does this stuff.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, I don't know how much good it do you. You got on the list of the list of the list. We're on, you know, lists that limit what links can be forwarded on certain ISPs. That was the only one that I was able to confirm. And I go, oh, okay, so there's a list. There are lists. There are various lists. There's levels of lists. There's different kinds of lists. You know, and I'm going, okay, all right. So once that begins, I don't invest my life and time and certainly into when it's the most important time, like an election. You know, I mean, that's not important time a lot to me, but I mean to you, you know, doing this stuff. And then all of a sudden they turn it off. And I'm going, I'm hoping you, the audience, and other activists like you know that this is not only a possibility, the more effective you are, it's a probability.
Right.
And I want to emphasize, that's why I got up and we stopped the butt. All right, we're going to talk to Mike right before the election because this is exactly what I'm talking about, okay? So this individual wants to be sheriff of La Paz County, which is how big? How many people?
The population of La Paz County is approximately 20,000 people.
That's it?
That's it.
For the whole freaking county?
The entire county.
You are sheriff of the desert.
Yeah.
Okay, now when you say Chris or Crisp or whatever you're saying, that's a Native American reservation around there of what tribe and what does it stand for? What are you saying?
It's Colorado River Indian tribe. It's four Indian nations came together. It was the last reservation created by Abraham Lincoln. And there's four Indian nations. Hopi, Navajo. I don't know all the names.
Okay, we'll be back in just a little bit. We're going into break. And we're going to drill this down. We'll get some, you know, quartzite history. Because this is the future of how they do this stuff. This is how. I'm going to lay it out for you, but it culminates in what happens when you want to do something about it. You want to run for office. You want to out the bad guys. You want to document what happens.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. Sounds like Mike Rothbard. Hold on. I have false alarm. I almost had a sneeze. I'm going to sneeze. It's going to be a sick. And there it went. All right, dang it. This is, you know, I'm up in the cold, man. What's the temperature there in Quartzsite, Mike?
Oh, probably 60.
And that's like winter.
Yeah. Yeah, it's for us.
Yeah, it's down to getting like zero here. I'm not digging it. I got to put a jacket on my dog. Hold on. There, got it. Well, that was a good one, too. Oh, Donna, here. Did you ever see Ace Ventura, Pet Detective 3. Anyway, what I wanted to do is make sure that people understand the nexus of these different social media platforms for campaigns. People that use, if you're running for office, I remember it wasn't until the gubernatorial election of 2002. In 2002, it was the first time that all the candidates at least had a web page. Now, a lot of them, they were freaking all pimped out. Man, there's a sneeze coming. They're all pimped out, and they have all the bells and whistles. Bandwidth was kind of low then, you know, and it was a pain in the butt. But they didn't say anything. It was, oh, look at this, you know, whiz-bang, you can play Candy Crush on it or something. I mean, whatever the hell was going on. But there was no real issues. There was no real answers. There was no real information. There was no real debate. There was no real, you know, videos of, you know, head-to-head confrontations with individual candidates themselves. There was no, it was all just colors and lights. Then, in 2004, we had Howard Dean running for president, started getting flash mobs. You know, it was kind of, you know, the progressive, here they come, having a concert, and he raised a bunch of money on. They went, ooh, that's it. Well, they had to stop him. You know, they went after him, and he, you know, kind of a deal. He became the DNC chair. So then it, you know, goes from 04, the next election cycle is 06. There's a little bit of online activism. This is when Pelosi becomes Speaker of the House. The Democrats take over the House. You have, you know, George Bush is bad because he's a warmonger, anti-war movement, the left, anti-war, which is crap. They want whatever they want. They just want to be in charge. So then you go, okay, it's 2008, and then it hit. Yeah, Flickr was around, you know, it's where you put all your photos. You know, Facebook was just kind of getting going and not really being used for politics so much, but it was getting there. YouTube definitely found its own, and here comes, you know, Google had that. You had meetups where people would actually meet up. Mike, do you guys use meetups anymore?
We don't, and those were good during the Ron Paul days. I didn't even know that it was still a thing.
I looked it up just yesterday or day before. I go, what happened to meetup? And I could tell what happened. They started doing the same thing. Regular, you can't have this meeting. You can't call it that. You can't. No, by the way, it's another $20 a month. Of you kind of they killed it. You know, it was just yeah. And that meetup was an actual meetup. That would be cool. You start a new meetup. You know, that would I'd be interested to see how that goes. People like, especially with all the pandemic and crap and plandemic. You know, they go, wow, I get to meet somebody. Yay! They not only do they want you not to meet them, when you do see them, you can't get a facial expression. They got a mask on, okay? So this is so then during the Levolution, during the 08, and from then, media platforms became a big deal. It was, you know, that's where everybody had to be on, that you wanted to have something. It was just like you not having a Facebook account was like not having a homepage or a website in 2002, when at first all the media, I mean, all the candidates, everybody had to get one. I got a webpage there, where Libertarians have been doing it since the mid-90s. So by the time they got in, then it's like, hey, we can't compete with these guys like Mike Roth head-to-head with the same platform without, you know, some network television telling you who's bad and who's good. You're figuring it out yourself, and we can't have that. So that's what's going on, is the power of the people coming up when you say, but if we get, we got to run for office, we got to get elected, we got to get in the process. This is what happens.
Yep.
You know, I use this, that's why I wanted to do the show today, was to emphasize this. All right. Now, in the next hour, we're going to go another hour, but let's go ahead and tell the people, you know, real quick, and a few minutes that we got left here after my ranting, is why I'm going to do a Rorschach test here, just real quick. One, when did you move to Quartzsite?
2007, I believe.
2007. Yeah. Why did you move to Quartzsite?
I met my wife here. We got married here. I married an immigrant, and we were going to move to her country after 2 years, after she got her green card, and then her country, you know, took a hard left turn, And that wasn't desirable or even an option anymore. It got real violent there. So here I am 15 years later.
Okay. Now, you met your wife there. Why there? Why were you even there? Are you from South Dakota or something? I mean, what?
No, I was living in Sedona at the time, but I came down here to sell some gemstones that I had, and you know, for the gem shows, and we just met, and
yeah, say no more, man. It's always a woman.
Yeah.
All right, so
yeah,
so you're there, and you go, all right, I'm gonna be here and just stay year round. It's kind of nice, leave me aloneism out in the middle of the whatever. And when you moved to Quartzsite in 07, it was still relative. Nah, it started going through its crap about then, but. You know, it used to be what? What's the population there in the summer?
Oh, maybe 1,500, maybe a couple thousand.
All right, a couple thousand people out in the middle of the desert. What's it get in the peak of the tourist winter season?
We don't know. We don't have an accurate count, but there could be as many as 1,000 people here on any given day.
It is amazing. You go from nothing to an ocean, literally. Go look up Quartzsite, Arizona RV aerial shot or something. You'll go, oh, my God, horizon kind of thing. I mean, it is ridiculous. And all those people, and one of the attractions is a rock and gem show or something. You'll get all kinds of fossils. And then, of course, when you got a gabillion people, and then everything else pops up, from cotton candy to dog grooming to leather works to, you know. And it's its own barter economy where a lot of people go, they'll maybe make a 20, 30, 40, 100% of their income for the whole year during Quartzsite, you know. So this is, you know, it's an ecosystem. And the man there was no man. It was 1,500 people. So what do? Hey, man, there's like dollar bills being exchanged around there. Where's our cut? Okay, how do we get a cut? It starts with parking tickets. It starts with, you know, it goes on and on and on and on. So you build a community. Then what do? They want to get in debt. They go, oh, yeah, you got a community. You got Quartzsite's got a pushpin in it, Quartzsite. And the reason is because it's got it's a desert, but there's a lot of water underground. A lot of land for solar farms and so on. And if you add water, it grows. It's Southern California, you know, grow belt there that's on the other side of the river. You go on this side of the river, it hasn't been, you know, polluted and bitched up and fertilized, damaged, of whatever the hell, and you add water and it freaking grows. So this is going to become an agricultural thing in the future. It's going to be a solar thing, you know, hell, starting now. It's got a crossroads that goes between Phoenix and Los Angeles, and a road that goes right through it that goes south to the border to Yuma. So this literally has a pushpin in it, okay? So I knew what we had witnessed has happened to other communities was coming to Quartzsite. And it's they, them, those that, yep, there's going to be a wider, never wider growing spot in the road here in Quartzsite, and we want to get on the ground floor and we get a cut. And these are the people. Now, the people that moved there to get away from all of this started paying attention. When we come back in the next hour, we're going to walk it through that. And the reason is, we'll let Mike get into it and talk. I got to get up for 3 hours. We'll do it my way because, damn it. Because this is what I want to happen. You go somewhere out in the middle of the freaking desert. I mean, this is 100 miles from anything else. Can you be left alone? Can you communicate? Do you have First Amendment? How they got to be known worldwide? Doing television in Australia as if arresting people that have been recognized to speak by the mayor. Yeah, okay, say, boom, cops get them. After being recognized, nobody, mayor didn't tell them to go arrest them, they just did. Why? Because they knew what they were going to say. This is how it gets. What are you going to do about it?
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, unafeared, but relatively concerned. I can give you more history on courts of how we got involved and knew about them, all that kind of stuff and everything. But, you know, let's go ahead and just finish Mike Roth asking some questions. Because I want people to understand what's going on, how we knew about it with the big, giant, park and swap. I mean, for lack of a better description, of 100,000 RVs. I mean, it's amazing. There was a gentleman called Big John. He was a friend of mine, a supporter, of our political activism since the 90s and so on. Well, he was inspired by us doing newspapers. So he goes, well, you can just do a newspaper? I'll do a newspaper. So he laid out a newspaper, and it had all of the vendors. It was a way of, it was like a penny saver or something for the event or whatever. But it had stories in there. And he had big ads for the radio show and different stuff, too, and Freedom's Phoenix and that kind of thing. So this is, 10, 15 years ago. And what he did, we've been around for a while. So what he did is he put these ads in, but he had commentary. He'd had articles. He'd published different things. And one of the main things was the actions of the city council there were just to, rip everybody off. How many, taxpayers can we get to pay us taxes and, parking fees and fines and how many, we got to be able to tax them having a table up on BLM land or something. We got to make us some money. It was a money thing. So when he started exposing that, they go, no, you're not allowed. You don't have a permit to have a newspaper.
Right.
And he's like, really? So eventually he came to us. We did some stuff. We hooked him up with the Goldwater Institute. And the Goldwater Institute and the Institute for Justice, they took any way they want. They're like, you don't need to have it. They were doing anything they could to try and delete your Facebook account, but in this case, a newspaper. A newspaper. Right. A freaking newspaper that had a couple of articles amongst all these ads of where to go get your, leather belt personalized or something, or engraved your dog tag or whatever the hell. They got all kinds of crazy stuff out there. I mean, it's like everything. It's a whole community. So they are going, nope, we don't want this criticism. We're going to ban it. We're going to ban the First Amendment. For them to jump from that to, you getting your Facebook account done is not a big giant leap to me. I mean, I'm going, what did you think was going to happen? You see my point?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner, to tell you the truth. I was expecting a jailing at the very least. But
oh, they attempted that on you guys for a long time, too, because you had a corrupt police force. They're going around arresting people and stopping kind of, we're going to explain it to you. I mean, this has been a thing.
Yeah, people were afraid to leave their house after dark at times because they didn't know if they were going to get arrested. There were several of us that were hunted, just because we exercised our rights, our free speech rights mainly. And I remember Big John. Yeah, I remember his run-ins. And then after that, Jennifer Jones came along, and they came after her newspaper as well. And then they started arresting us at town hall. And, fortunately there was a few refuseniks that said, you're not going to do this to me. And then we got all that international attention.
Well, the international attention, Jen went up to speak. They had done a bunch while people were gone. They come back in the winter time and, all that. What they had done is they charged per faucet. And if you have an RV park with, 200 faucets, you don't have one water bill now. You got a 200 faucet bill. That's how they were going to get you for having it. That was just one of the ways. And it was just breaking people. They were just, that was just the beginning. They go, look, I moved here to be, retired and left alone. And all of a sudden, what the hell just happened? I can't afford to live here. Oh, that's so sad. Well, we'll buy it from you. I mean, it was just this kind of same old crap. Well, yep. Jen gets up. What was her name? Jennifer, right?
Jennifer Jones.
Jennifer Jones gets up, recognized by the mayor. That was, decent guy, one of you guys. He kind of got elected, and he gets up. But then you got the bureaucracy, and you got the other councilmen that run whatever. And he recognizes her to get up. She stands up. One of the councilmen kind of nods to the police chief. He goes over and arrests her. And I'm going, whoa. And this was the beginning of video. This is the beginning of the internet being as an activist thing. This was it was playing on network news in Australia. It's Alex Jones. It's us going around being butt heads about it. We had our RV. We called it the mobile gypsy booth. But we had an RV before this. You know, it was a Dodge. It was like it was a full RV. It was just one of those mini ones. I can't remember what you call them, but 20 foot or so. And we go out there and we transmit on FM. We put flyers on all of these RVs. You know, gazillions of. Tune in to 98.2 Kiss My Butt. I mean, you know, whatever the heck it was. And we would be in the parking lot transmitting live all this stuff that was going on. We would have meetings. We would go to different, breakfast club things that they have. We'd go and speak. We'd go and help. And we got brought attention to it. But it just doesn't matter when you got a pushpin in it. They never go away. Well, Mike and a lot of the other activists didn't want to go away. So tell us what, you know, prompted you to get active, what you found out, why you kept going, then we'll get to the sheriff thing.
Well, I got active because they bullied me. And I said, you can't do this to me. And I stood up. You know, I thought I had rights. And I exercised those rights. And next thing you know, I'm getting arrested. I've been arrested at town hall as well, simply for speaking truth to power. And they don't like to hear uncomfortable truths. So what they do, they give you a 2-day timeout in the local county jail, and then you got charges. You got to go. You know, I've been in court on average at least once a month for the past 15 years. I have been, you know, harassed. I have been bullied. And I guess I am stubborn, too stubborn. I resist. I fight. I have won all my charges. I beat all my cases. I've won all my lawsuits. And I thought maybe when we got rid of the past chief of police, we might have turned the corner, but we didn't. We're right back at square one. We have a dirty, corrupt council, hardcore leftists. And we also have an out-of-control police department. We have a chief of police, my opponent, that will do anything the politicians tell him to do, especially if it benefits him. And he gets away with everything because he does the politicians' bidding.
Well, see, this is how they select these guys. They're always flawed. You know, they don't have a great, you know, super moral, ethical guy to come in and do the dirty work of that. That doesn't happen. That's why these guys got jobs. They go, all right, who's going to do what we you will, won't you? Yes, I will. Bring it on. You don't mind if I have a couple hookers, do you? I mean, okay, you know, or little children's or something. You know, they help. No, we need you to and videotape so we can control. I mean, it's so corrupt at such a base level. And you follow this through, and I like when people think that we get to have a say. We're going to exercise our franchise and voting. We're going to exercise our free speech. We're going to exercise all day long. And they just beat you and beat you and beat you and beat you down. And then, your Facebook is done. So the supporters of the community there, what are they thinking? Are they like, you know, move, last stand? You know, we need to get a killdozer? I mean, what?
Well, you know, this is a retirement community.
All right, we're going into break. That's a good place to leave it and come back, you know, Mike respond to this. Because I need a narrative. I need people to understand what's going on. You know, what kind of good, because they're going to recognize their own. They're going to go, oh, hell, that's how we work. Yeah, it is. And what do you do? And then what happens? And then what happens? And then what happens? What happens? We come back.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Ernest Hancock. Just ready to, sneeze. Damn it. That was I'm going, I got to go before, no, it's going to be right during, Mike Roth. Mike Roth from Quartzsite, running for sheriff there, gets deleted on Facebook. There was a whole bunch that was leading up to this, exposing the corruption of his opponent or, you know, the local town council and what they do in the county. And the county is only 20,000 people. Now, you know, I got the suburbs, you know, hell, neighborhoods have that many people. I mean, you know, and this is a big, giant desert of the county, and it has a Native American reservation in it, the four tribes that have their own law enforcement. Do they? And a lot of, you know, back and forth administrators going between the reservation and the communities there. There is always a, you know, these positions that get filled. It's the city attorney, the city manager, the city police chief, the city municipal, you know, judge, and maybe a city clerk. And then there's adding on, you know, it's the economic development guy that fills out the grant paperwork of the, we need to comply and get everybody on the sewer water system of the $300 million new water system we have for, you know, like 1,500 people that will never get paid back because somebody's going to make some money on it, or the EPA is going to condemn you if you don't have blah, 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 blah. This is like standard. And you want to see how it works, itty-bitty little communities that certainly, oh my God, have a crossroads and a pushpin in it, and they make some money on the tourism, travelers, or people just stopping and getting gas, because it's the only place to get gas between Phoenix and L.A., okay? So you, yeah, go like this. You go, all right, I can see it was a perfect formula for the people to get totally screwed. And then they start to rise up. And we helped them because we knew what was coming. Because of Big John, you know, that we knew that they were not going to take criticism. So, you started criticizing why. What was your first action? What brought you to the table?
I had bought some a trailer load of steel before I had even moved here. And I had stored it on this guy's property. And he calls me. He goes, hey, Mike, they just took your trailer load of steel. I said, well, call the police. And he goes, they're helping them. I said, what? Well, let me talk to the guy. Code enforcement was there, and he was directing the police. And I said, let me talk to him. He hands the phone to him, and he hangs it up. And the guy calls me back, and he goes, I can't do anything. I can't stop the police. I said, I'll be there in 4 hours. I came down here, tried, you know, town hall had closed already. So I knocked on the back door of town hall, which is the police department. And out comes Jeff Gilbert. How can I help you? You know, in a big bullish tone. And I said, my property's been stolen. Here is the receipt. I would like to get my property back. This is a civil matter. You'll have to take it up with the courts. What? You know, and I'm thinking, what kind of town is this? And that's how it started. It started before I even moved here. And then when I moved here, they didn't like some of the things I had on my property. I said, I can store, you know, I had semi-trailers, and, you know, you can have a semi-trailer on your property. There's nothing illegal about that. Well, they didn't like it. And I said, too bad. And we went to court, and I've been going to court, and I haven't stopped going to court. I just, my last court case, I was facing 7 years for an incident with a forklift and a meth addict on Main Street. I avoided an accident with my forklift, and when I got done with it, I look up, and here comes a Quartzsite Police Department car. And I said, well, this will be interesting. Then they charged me with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. And I avoided the accident. And I took it to trial, and I beat them. And they tried to tack on new charges. They wanted to retry me because it was a hung jury. And they finally dismissed it. But it was 4 years of my life where I was facing 7 years over something I avoided. And it's just been one thing after another. If they can't shut you up at the podium, they'll try and jail you or chase you out of town. And I've seen them chase people out of town. People, you know, again, this is a retirement community. People have lived their life. They don't want to have any more fights or battles. That's why they largely get away with it, because people don't do it, say anything. And it's just been a few people under 70 that have stood up, and they've paid a price.
Did I predict this years ago? I told you guys, I'm going, look, I need you to understand what you're up against. I'll help you. But they're not going away. They got a pushpin in it. You know, this is, Quartzsite's got a future plan of it. It ain't got you in it. And you're not allowed. And your rights don't mean nothing. And they're going to do what they're going to do. And here it comes. And the more you scratch the surface, you'll find there's, you know, previous landowners or conglomerations or corporations or created blah, blah, blah. And all they need is a cooperative grid. City attorney, municipal judge, clerk, town manager, chief. That's how it works. And and they use the law enforcement to harass anybody that gets in their way. And you have been in their way. Now, what about Jennifer? What about some of the other people that have been active? They, you know, help you? They kind of fallen off the radar or what?
Well, most have left. Jennifer Jones is still active, but she moved up north to Kingman, and she's a write-in for supervisor this cycle. You know, they either die off or they leave. They don't want to stick around in dysfunction junction or corrupt county. I've got roots here. I bought real estate here. I just am not going to run away because of some bullies, and that's why I ran for sheriff. I said, all right, if this is the way we do things in the county, I'm going to try and put an end to it. I'm going to try and bring back the Constitution, you know, that long-lost document that everybody's forgotten about. You know, it's just been a long, hard fight, and I was making traction, getting some traction in this campaign. I believe I still am. But my
of course you are. That's why they Facebook deleted you.
Exactly. They cannot have ideas being discussed. They cannot have corruption being exposed. This is not how we want it to go. You know, and it's so obvious. Like, after the primaries, I was expecting, you know, debates and meet the candidates. Well, the establishment has not had one meet the candidate event after the primaries. So the establishment's picked for sheriff, my opponent, the dirty cop, he is, you know, considered the hands-on favorite to win. And they're giving him every advantage that they can give him. You know, no meet the candidate. We did have meet the candidate events in Quartzsite, finally, when a local person said, we need to know what's going on, and they created their own event. Guess who didn't appear? My opponent did not appear to his own local community meet the candidate events. Did not want to have to answer questions in his own community.
Of course. What's the word? I got a word. Duh. Okay?
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Duh. So this is how it works. And I'm wondering what you think, you know, having gone through this process all this time, when we come back, we'll talk about solutions. You know, what needs to happen? How would it happen? What are we going to do? You know, I'm going to be coming back to Arizona. It's just a mess I got to come into. Hell, I leave. They do all this mask mandate stuff, and people complied. I didn't anticipate that. I didn't think a lot of people in Arizona, are they complying in Quartzsite? You all masked up out there?
No. Well, there are some, but most of us are refusing.
Get the paddle. Yeah, come here, you obstinate little ornery little boy. Girl, go get
them. Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show.
Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
You know, you're not going to want a road in Quartzsite. You need some flying cars, man. That's way to hell out there. That's a long ways out in the middle of the nuts. You leave, you go west from Phoenix, you're going to L.A. You know, it's about third of the way, half the way or so. You know, about third of the way, probably out in the middle of the freaking desert, halfway between Phoenix and the Colorado River, is Quartzsite. And it's a middle of the nothing. And that was its allure. It would get all kinds of television coverage and everything. Woohoo! Look at all the 100,000 RVs, and we'd be having a party. And people would go out there. It'd be like going to the pumpkin patch or something. I mean, you know, you'd go out there. Our kids loved it. There's all kinds of trinkets and trash. Imagine, you know, 100,000 people park and swap. I mean, it's just amazing what you can find out there. But that means they some money. Somebody going to get some money. When Donna and I go back to Arizona to find a place, you know, Quartzsite would be on the radar screen if it was free. But it's not. It's corrupt, just like any of these others. And there's a system to it. So I'm looking for solutions. Mike is just a type that, ouch, quit it. I'm going to expose and do. So it becomes a target. And the longer that he does it, the more he becomes a target. And he just keeps pressing him, pushing back, but he's got a lifespan that's shorter than the machine's is. And it sets an example for everybody else. This is what happens when you buck the system. So the solution is what? Eternal vigilance? I mean, you know, what we got to do?
Well, my opinion, yes, eternal vigilance, and just keep disseminating information. That's what my plan has always been.
Banned.
Why I went? What's that?
You're banned. Not allowed to disseminate.
I know, but we just have to find ways around, workarounds, you know. I'm now considering doing my own radio show because I cannot get my message out on Facebook, which I never really liked. I joined it because I couldn't get anything in the local media, nothing. So I joined Facebook and found out what a hole Facebook is. But, you know, it's kind of necessary nowadays if you're running for office, especially. But now that I'm banned, I'm looking at other alternatives. Go back to the old school ways of a website and building an email list and doing email blasts and interviewing people, putting it on the website.
And then they get you on email. We had Dan Dix from Press for Truth uses MailChimp. You know, after they banned everything, they banned your YouTube, they banned your Facebook, they banned your Twitter, they banned, you know, but he had his own database, and then the mailing service banned him. If they can, they will. Can't, yes, then they will. And it's when you're the most effective, and they'll do it down to the localist level of itty-bitty, little-bitty, in the summer, 1,500 people, quartzite. And I'm going, this is so... Whenever I came out and talked to you guys, whenever we promoted anything, whenever I interviewed, whenever we did that, did I or did I not say this is exactly how they're going to do it? This is how it happens. These are the people. It's a forever thing, and you got to nip it in the bud of whatever the hell. I mean, and this is why you call me. And I'm going, look, I'm shocked they didn't do it before. But, you know, right at Super Bowl time. So the solution is what?
You know, good question. I mean, if they're going to keep doing this,
they're going to keep doing it.
Around the what is the answer?
Signs everywhere, a sign. I'm the big sign guy, man. Oh, I'm going to come by. We're going to show you how to do some signs. Now, Bob, we're going to be out in Tonopah probably a good half of the time that we're there. We're from like Thanksgiving to the middle of January. Then we take... You know, after holidays and so on, take a break. We're going southern United States. We'll go like Key West. Then we'll go up to the Carolinas and back over midway as it starts to warm up. So then we'll get in the Rockies and all that kind of stuff. But while we're there, I can make Quartzsite, you know, a project. You get a little gathering. We'll get some of the guys together. We'll bring the Love Bus out. We'll do the show live. We'll have some demonstrations on the equipment and the supplies you need to be able to saturate them with "you can't be censored" signs. They'll take them down, but they cost like nothing, and they put them back up and back up and a creative and a stencil, and it's going to be, it will not be silenced. This is what it takes. And if you're using, and they try to corral you into their system, running for their offices, going to their meetings, not having your own. So then the meetup thing comes in too. And that intention, that's what this, you know, mask NPC, you're all just a bunch of non-player characters standing around looking the same with your mask on, and there's no interaction, there's no learning, there's no meet space. So you set up a meetup or have a thing or whatever, we'll come out and we're gonna make an example again. But it's going to be solution time. Long-term, sustainable, it doesn't matter what they do. Hell, they don't even need to know who does it. Doesn't matter. It's not a secret. It's just, I got to have a web page to give a finger to the man. Is it give a finger to the man web page? You know, what's that? Because the next wave is going to be taking down web pages. Because they have to.
Yeah. So yep. I'm fully expecting that. And by the way, my signs are famous out here in Quartzsite. I remember the revolution, the Lovolution with the Ron Paul days. All those signs we did. And during this campaign, my signs had such an impact that they resurrected an old law, and they contacted ADOT, and they wiped out all the signs along the state highways. Not just mine. They went after every politician.
Well, what did your sign say?
Oh, they It just said, dump the La Paz County Good Old Boys Club, vote Mike Roth for sheriff, and rothforsheriff.com on the bottom. But the thing is, there were 4x8 sheets of plywood. They were painted bright yellow with red letters. You could see them for a mile. And, you know, compared to my opponent's puny little, you know, 12x12 signs and, you know, has, you know, vote fonts, you know, they could not stand the fact that I could be visible for miles down the road. And it was the only sign that drew your attention. So they did. They contacted, they had code enforcement who reports directly to the chief of police, my opponent. Code enforcement contacted ADOT, and ADOT tore out hundreds of signs.
Okay. Go to lovebuslibertytour.com. Lovebuslibertytour.com. You'll see the pictures of the signs and how we're doing it. We have a 100-watt laser that cuts templates within 10 minutes out of a thin plywood that we use as a template. Boom, it's done. Uh-huh. You know, then we can still do the digital the way we used to with the waterproof wall board and make that. We got that method. We have you know, different material instead of the banner stuff. We found it's a propa blah blah lena something, and there's a company, Inland Plastics, south of Chicago, where we order them in the bulk. We have, it's like 600 pounds of thin plastic that doesn't rip. It's like that sandbag material, and you can put a zip tie on a chain link, and the hurricane won't come off. So we get, you know, rolls. I have 450 yards of that at 61 inches wide. We make a lot of signs. And the 18 by 24s, we buy them $170. You know, they're probably up like 200 now, for 100 of them with the stands. And then we get those in bulk, and we just make some signs. And we use this, and we could blanket the living crap out of quartzite. You know, but for what? What's the campaign? It'll be after the election. It'll be exposing or whatever. Hell no, we won't go. We're not, you know, leaving. We're not. But if you don't go at the root, it's just a waste of time. And the root is the League of City and Town collectivized management forces of this is how we do it. And they got their economic development guy that's getting some grant from federal of they pass it down progressive money. And to get it, they have to do what they want them to do, which is indebt you $300 million to have a water treatment plant that you're never going to pay off. I mean, I see how this works. This is what they do.
Yeah. And by the way, Quartzsite just got a brand new water treatment plant.
Of course they did. You know, that's standard operating procedure. And how much was it?
I think it was $6 million, something like that.
Only $6 million? Wow, divide that into 1,500 people. How much, you got it on you? How much money you got? We're going to find Mike. We'll pay for it. Oh! Disney. I'm telling you, I don't think I know audience. I know exactly how this works. And the only way is general public opinion. And they'll shut it down.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And we got Mike Roth on. You know, we're ready to do a campaign for what? I come back, we go do some quartzite resurrection of butt whipping. To what end? You know, you're going to lower your taxes. You're going to decrease the involvement of. We're going to change, you know, permitting process. What do you want to do? What's bothering you?
Well, I'm thinking about doing a recall again here in Quartzsite, and there's finally a group of constitutionalists or liberty lovers that are like the old days, you know, when it all blew up, that have had enough. And I'm thinking of a recall them all campaign. You know, the other day I went to ask the mayor of Quartzsite a question, just a simple question. It's on video. I'm posting it on my website today. And I just asked him wanted to ask him a question. As soon as I turned on the camera, he freaked out. Not only did he freak out, the Socialist Council member, Kerry Ammon, came and tried to swipe the phone out of my hands. I said, wait, don't touch me. You can't assault me. And then the mayor just freaked out because I turned on the camera, never answered my question. And
well, pray tell, what was your question?
Well, my question was going to be, if you're the mayor of Quartzsite and you discover that your chief of police was found guilty of having sex on duty.
Get his camera!
Yeah, okay.
You know, and I never even got the question out because he knew he couldn't answer any question from me without, you know, being foolish because he's covering for the guy. And he didn't know that question was coming. But just the fact that I pointed a camera in his direction and I didn't get in his face, I wasn't loud or obnoxious, which I can be loud and I can be obnoxious, but I wasn't. And I just said, can I ask you a question? He goes, sure. And as soon as I turned on that camera, he lost it. Lost it.
Okay, now, was this in a meeting or just on the street or what?
It was after a town hall meeting where they were going to give the town manager a raise. I believe it was his compensation package.
Of course.
And he's gotten raises consistently. And I happened to show up to the first meeting in probably 2 years because they, you know, they kick you out of meetings if they don't like you. They have you arrested. It's just not worth my time anymore to go to meetings because they don't do anything for the community. They do it for themselves. But I went to this meeting because our town manager, he keeps getting more and more and more money. Doesn't even live here. He works 3 days a week. He's so overworked, he hires a friend of his from Yuma to be assistant town manager. And he's a crime operator as well. So, you know, I just wanted to ask that question because it had come out that my opponent was found guilty by the Bureau of Indian Affairs of conduct on becoming an officer for having sex while on duty. And I wanted to see what he would say to that. What would he do? But he didn't want to answer any questions on tape. And he really lost it. It was unbelievable how he reacted. It'll be on my website here today. And
so when was this this happened?
About 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yep.
See, and you wonder why you got banned. Okay. Well.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, my opponent is all proud of his FBI training. And I wonder how much, you know, FBI has played into this, if any. You know, I can't prove any of that. You know, maybe in 20 years I'll get to see my FBI files and see what they've really said about me. But, you know, we live in dangerous times.
Well, what is your business? What do you do for sustenance?
I'm in the gemstone and mineral business. My wife makes jewelry. We buy, sell, trade anything mineral related. And it's one reason why we're here. We don't need to be here anymore. We've developed our business to where we don't need to be here. We don't even go to the big show in Tucson. We haven't been to the show in Tucson in a few years now. But it is a fun atmosphere in the winter. You know, it's terrible in the summer as far as the heat goes. But, and I also have a little internet business I've had for almost 30 years. You know, I've been a free man most of my life. I've been an entrepreneur my entire life. And I moved out here thinking I was only going to be here for a couple years so that I could, you know, go see the world. And it didn't work out that way. As they say, man plans, God laughs. And I took on the tyranny. I've been successful. I've won all my cases. I've won all my lawsuits, and you'd think they learn, but they don't care. They're in power. They get the big bucks from the government. They have all the authority, and they harass people. And it's disgusting, and Americans need to wake up. And if we can't wake them up in small-town America, it's over. It's over.
Assume you woke up everybody. I mean, when we were doing this before, it wasn't like it wasn't obvious to everybody what was going on. You know,
right.
And then what? They just wait you out.
They do. That's absolutely right. And my opponent, he got fired here. Then he goes up to Crit. He gets in a sex scandal. And what does he do? He comes right back. They rotate these people, just like you said. Our town manager at the time you were out here during the big brouhaha days, our town manager left here and goes up to Parker and bankrupts the county. He's finally out of the county. But he did great damage to the county. And I tried to warn everybody. His name was Dan Field, and I said, Dan Field is bad for the county. And they'd say, oh, he's an attorney. He'll know how to navigate these waters. Well, he broke us. You know, we have almost an 11% sales tax here. And that's because we keep losing lawsuits, and not little lawsuits, big ones. And but the politicians and the political operatives, they never pay. We do. And that's why I fight. That is why I resist. That's why I'm running for sheriff, is because I think I can make a difference. And I do think I can make a difference if once I get in there. It'll be the same struggles. It'll be the same problems. It'll be worse, bigger. But I believe I can handle it. I've handled all these other ones.
Yeah.
So, but all these problems keep coming up, like the banning, the jailing.
Yeah,
the
what suggestion do you have to, you know, my and Donna's situation? We liquidated everything. We go, you know, walk about the country for a year. We start highlighting a lot of these other communities just like this, doing the same stuff, the same reasons. And then we come back after a year to Arizona. Okay, we want to settle, you know, get back and spend more time with our family. We have 4 kids, 12 grandkids. You know, Arizona's home. And I'm going, all right, well, on which hill am I going to die? Well, let's go pick a hill. Hopefully one that I don't have to die on. So, I mean, where would that hill be? In Arizona, I mean, you know, I get a call. We had Sheriff Mack on yesterday or day before, and he said, there's a good constitutional sheriff in Yavapai. And I go, when the hell has Yavapai had a constitutional anything? So I'm just going, okay, so let's hear about it. Oh, we have some people moving to Prescott. It's a popular place. A lot of people that come down to Quartzsite in the winter or up in Prescott in the summer. I mean, you know, so it's a it's an opportunity. We're going, all right, we'll take a look. We'll see what's up. Well, I'm going to have to do battle like you, but I don't want to be, you know, subservient to a central collective of how I'm going to do it. You know, where else in Arizona? You know, Jen went to Kingman. Why? Because it's similar to Quartzsite. It's out in the desert. It's very rural. You can do whatever, and they have a little bit different mindset up there. They're, Kingman's kind of, man, don't be starting. We got, like guns and stuff, you know. So it's a little bit different. Where do you suggest, you know, we even look?
Well, I like rural areas. I like Ash Fork. You know, there's nothing there. No government, but you still have the long arm of government from Prescott. You know, they have a hand in there. They're, you know, they got code enforcement coming out there saying you can't have
this. Yeah, Adam Kokesh is dealing with that.
yeah. Is Adam still up there?
Yeah. He just bought a building. He's putting a studio in and everything on his land. Yeah.
Yep, I like the area. It's a sustainable area. It's nice. They get enough rainfall to where if you have enough roof space, you can collect water and sustain yourself if grid goes down type situation. And the only problem with Ash Fork is the winters. You know, it's muddy and wet. But I think if you had a place, my ideal place is someplace up in northern Arizona, for the summers, and somewhere down on the Baja of Mexico in the winters.
Yeah, no, that's my thing. And Donna's like, no, I just want to have one. I go, I don't know, man. I think I'd enjoy having a, Maricopa County-ish winter place and somewhere on the rim in the summer. That'd be awesome. You know, you're 3 hours and boom, you're done, you know? And then, but travel gets to be restricted also. There's only a few ways out of the Valley in Phoenix, and they just shut them down, and you're a prisoner. You know, this is. We'll stay in touch. I want to know how this works out for you, but I tell you, you know, the reason I wanted to, you know, I heard this happen to you, wanted to talk to you, was because it's a neon flashing example of people, what they're up against, how far can you take it, what is the insurance level of you, your community, and the bad guy. What's the solution? I don't know. We sure as hell got a good beat on the problem.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix. Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! To
Yeah. Unafeared. But that doesn't mean you're not worried. You're not relatively concerned. You know, it's not fear that, you know, restricts me or drives me or any, it's worry. It's concern. It's knowing what's going to happen. If I go, yeah, if I do that, that's going to, let's not do that. Or if I don't do this, this is going to happen. I better do it. It's just worry. So you go, yeah, well, God, man, I'm worried I'm not going to have enough food, you know, 3 months from now. So I'll go back and buy a bag of beans. All right. And another one, a little bit, and get a pallet of this and a little bit of that and so on, and some toilet paper, you know, and then I'm not worried anymore. And then what's the next thing to worry about? This has been, you know, motivation for a lot of the stuff that we do is just because it weighs on. If you know enough about different things, you're going, yeah, I need to do something. Because if I don't, you know, there's going to be some problems. I'm going to be afraid. I'm going to be afraid there's nothing on that spoon when it goes into my mouth. That's what I'm afraid of. So you do things to make sure you're not afraid. One of the things, we have our dog with us back. Aaron, Derek's sister, was watching her for while we were traveling around a lot and getting the bus worked on and so on. So we got her back. And she's an Arizona dog. She's going out, just a little rat dog, poodle, whatever the heck it is. And it's anonymous. And nothing to do with a thing I say, so I take no responsibility. I'm like, you know, we got a relationship. It always comes over when I'm eating, you know, want some hamburger or something. But, you know, other than that, it's Donna's dog. But the I could see they're like, hey, man, it's cold out there. I don't like it cold. So we get her little jacket thing. It's kind of cool, you know, and appreciates that. But I imagine we're just animals out there. That's cold. That's too hot. Hey, where's my food? I got some water. You know, who's going to take care of you? Where's your massa? You got a massa? Oh, it's a Big Bubba. He's going to take care of it for you, you know? And it's easier when you get smaller, you know, like this, you know, this bus is kind of like tiny house living with work and studio and undercarriage and hauling around an activist kind of platform of, I mean, damn, we, you know, yeah, we did it. We're going to be doing videos of, you know, how everything works and don't, once I get everything working, but the how it works and so on, that'll be coming. But then we got to decide, where do we put it? Facebook, just, you know, take activist off, done. You know, conscious resistance, boom, just got taken off YouTube. You know, Luke Radowski totally demonetized and everything. Press for Truth, Dan Dix, done. World Alternative Media, done. Tim, John, Liberty Report, World Alternative Media stuff, done. You know, so I'm going, okay, you know, I think Liberty Report probably still has their channels. I'm not even sure he worries about, you know, YouTube. Which one do we pick? You know, we've been using some BitChute, and we have an account there, and we do it. But, you know, you got to, you know, pimp out the page, and that's the one that we're going to use. And then you go, oh, now I'm obligated to have to load to that one. Well, it takes 5 billion years to load. You got a faster one that loads too? Well, when we do the stream, it goes straight to Float. They've been working with us on that and setting that up. But it takes a while for it to go up. You know, maybe a day or two, you know, processing of whatever the heck they're doing or something. You know, so it's a, you know, server thing. So then we work on, you know, when we do this, I don't want to be just like Mike Roth was. You put all this in, it's gone. So we do our own servers. Well, that can only take, and we do our own servers for everything but the video. The video, that we could do the video too, but, you know, the we are doing it with IPFS. That's where we're kind of focusing on a lot of the stuff that we do, is that, you know, that is the backup. You know, that is the available. That is where you can go, where we can seed it from, where. But as a sample, an example, and to be there waiting for the massive hordes that will be a-coming, which platform do you put your stuff on that will be available, the content's available, the content can be uploaded, anybody can get it when they want to, and it's user-friendly, and people will follow. Yeah, but there's nobody on, you know, woo-woo or whatever it is. And I go, I don't care. They will be with these features. This is the point that I'm making. Ernie's always ahead 5, 10 years, you know, at least 3 years. I just, I'm, well, Well, of course this is going to happen. What is going through your head? Why would you think that people would not populate, use, and go on a place where they are free to say and do, read and consume what they want? Why would they not want to do that? Speed. Convenience. Accessibility. What happens when all those barriers start coming down? I keep hearing, same thing with Eric Peters, you know, he's always going on about how he hates Tesla and electric cars. He's a gearhead. You know, I need gasoline fumes in the morning, man. You know, napalm in the morning. Boy, I love it. You know, so I go, okay, so what's your reasoning? He goes, well, acceleration kicks crap out of that. Range. Oh, well, range is now more in a gas thing. Now what? How fast does it charge? Okay, well, that's becoming a thing. Now what? Well, we need more chargers. Okay, that's a thing. You know, we need more. Well, that's a thing. I mean, you know, is that really your concern? When, you know, list all your concerns, and when they get checked off, are now you're a big electric fan now? Probably not. You know, I don't know. I don't care. I mean, you know, I'm glad, you know, ice engines will be around just for the nostalgia of me making fun of them because they piss me off so much. I had an entire adult life of freaking working on, you know, vacuum leak, hose line, pump, blah, 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 blah. And all I got to worry about, it plugs in, and there's going to be some computer chip. That'll be another thing. And then they want to deliver me to the man and all that kind of stuff. The auto, we are arresting you in your car and taking you to the precinct kind of minority report crap. You know, don't think I'm not paying attention to that, you know. But I can make my own. I got, you know, three Monteros waiting on me. When we get back, they're my projects. Woo-hoo, man. They get electric motors in the hubs, put some batteries in there, management system, we're done. Boom. Boom, 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 boom. So I, you know, I'm looking for the features, the traits. I don't give a crap about, you know, whatever reason they do. I mean, I'm not about polluting just to pollute, but that is my big thing is, because they'll go and they'll say, oh, solar cars and battery, they pollute because they're making them kind of a, and that's a concern, but it's not my primary focus. My primary focus is decentralization. Can I create my own transportation power? Yes. Can I have something that can use it and I can get around and do my work on the farm of that guy? Yes. Okay. What's your other concern that I don't care about? You know, that, oh, I'm cleaning the air too. Oh, okay. Well, there's that, you know, that it's decentralization. We start thinking this way. We need to start thinking this way. How can you take worry out of your life? And the more you do it, what happens? Hey, I see you got no worry in your life. Well, worry about paying this here new tax. Well, I don't use your stuff. You know, I don't go in town, I don't buy anything, I do everything. Well, we want it anyway. We need the value of something. You got more value on your land because we're not here to bug you, so that has value, so that give me more money. You know, something. So it's going to be this way. What are you going to do? They're not stopping. And when the money gets tight and the economy starts to pull back and the dollar goes, they're going to want to feed themselves first. They're going to put food on the government family. I guarantee it. When we come back, I want to talk about this new mandate, vaccines, let 11-year-olds decide for themselves. How did this come about? What bill did this? Where did this go? Well, what's the plan? Who's going to be parent? We'll find out.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Yep, and Donna's setting something up I want to show you real quick, and she's almost done and pushed a button, and how many seconds? 15 seconds. All right, we'll get to it. Now, what I wanted to show you guys is this law, and it applies to, there's a, James Clavell did a screenplay that was played in the United Kingdom BBC, a mobile screen, no commercial, you know, super important of Be Afraid of the Communist. And it was about, it's on there, okay. So, and it was about how school children will be conned, and it's always before puberty. Once you get testosterone and estrogen kind of flowing through your body and you're kind of got an opinion about it, and you're locked, and it takes trauma almost to change anything. I mean, your base fundamental default position of how you act and what you see to be right and wrong and all that kind of gets formed by puberty. So I'm going, that's just been my experience. And I go, oh, okay, I understand why they do the Hitler Youth and the Stalin Brigades and the, you know, the DARE program and whatever the hell they're doing. It's always, you know, South Park. It's always, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old. It's fifth grade, sixth grade kind of thing. So I'm going, okay, I get it. You know, I get it. So this is where this bill is kind of headed towards. And there was a, let me see if it's up. Yeah, the children's story. Now, this is, it's, how long is this thing? It's 26 minutes. We won't play it today. But, you know, I really encourage you guys to go watch this thing. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pick a spot, I guarantee, let's see, at, I don't know, what, 15 minutes. I'll get right at about 15:01. Okay, I'll put in at 15 minutes. You got little kids in there, and they brought in the new socialist communist teacher or whatever. And let's see if we can just get, you know, just we'll just play whatever, hopefully, if I can get it into the system here. Let me try this. All right, here we go. Is that? Yeah, no, of course, whatever. Though I just, you know, randomly pick in and play this, and I don't want to play with, you know, stuff. Something will stop working. But the put in the children's story. It's in the third hour of today's archive, and you go watch that. Donna, put it that, you know, just forward it up to the front page too. Do that again. I want to do that on a regular basis because this thing is powerful. This was in the, I think, 70s, certainly not later in the 80s. And it shows you how they get them to think the way they want. How they're going, yes, the war's over, we won. It was November 3rd, 2020, and we won. Biden said we won. And this is what you win. You know, this is what you're going to get. This is it all, and you wanted to just extract yourself from the system, take your kids out of school, not do the vaccination, not, you know, I'm over here, let me know how it works out. No, hell no. No dissenters. You get your Facebook just deleted, you know? So this is the story. In the Council of the District of Columbia, okay, where would you think this stuff would start? You know, how's it going to start? Who's going to do it? Well, D.C. is its own municipality. They want to make it a state or give them a congressman or, you know whatever. You know, whatever. So they have their own city council. They got their own layer of government. And that's a good enough place to start, man. We're going to start there. And D.C., D.C. did it. What'd they do? The bill summary is to amend. Okay, I'll do it straight from the bill here. To amend Chapter 6 of Title 22B of the District of Columbia Municipal Regulations to permit a minor 11 years of age or older to receive a vaccine where the minor is capable of meeting the informed consent standard and where the vaccination is recommended by the United States Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices and provided as in accordance with the ACIP's recommended vaccine schedule to establish how a minor may be deemed meeting the informed consent standard to require the Department of Health to produce age-appropriate alternative vaccine information sheets. All right. They may be deemed able to have informed consent, but they get dumbed down, schooled down, age-appropriate, you know, conning pamphlet. See my point? They got to have a special pamphlet, but they're old enough to comprehend consent, and we're going to explain it to them so they consent. Okay. To prohibit an insurer from sending an explanation of benefits to allow a minor access to immunization records. See, I don't understand what they mean. To prohibit an insurer from sending an explanation of benefits. So I guess that would be to their parents so they'd find out that they did something or something. So they're going to, you know, have the parents paying for coverage that they don't get to see what their thing was. What? There's going to be a bill or something. They're going to hide this? Wow. to allow a minor access to immunization records and to require the physician to submit the immunization record directly to the minor's school if the parent is utilizing a religious exemption or is opting out of receiving the human papilloma virus vaccine. Oh, they even specify Gardasil, the papilloma virus that's causing. What the hell? All right. A minor 11 years of age or older may consent to receive a vaccine where the minor is capable of meeting the informed consent standard. And the vaccine is recommended by the yada, 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 yada. They already said that. Inherent medical care. The Department of Health shall produce one or more age-appropriate alternative vaccine information sheets. Providers who administer immunizations under the authority of this subsection shall seek reimbursement without parental consent. They can even get paid. They're going to seek reimbursement of the parents' insurance without the parents knowing. What? Directly from the insurer, which may be Medicaid, Alliance, or private insurance. Wow. Insurers shall not send an explanation of benefits for services provided under the authority of this subsection. I'm not sure what that means. I guess that might be, you know, if I'm the parent and I want to know, all right, explain. No, we're not sending it to you. Or we're not even letting you know that we're covering it. A minor who receives services provided under the authority of this subsection shall have access to their immunization records without parental consent. Okay, fine. I don't care about that 11-year-old. Go see his record or something. I prefer not have a record, you know, but whatever. Section A of the Student Health Care Act of 85, ooh, there's a Student Health Care Act of 85, that'll send you down a hole, is amended as follows. All right, they take out paragraph one and then insert new paragraph. Paragraph, if parent is utilizing religious exemption for vaccination or is opting out of receiving the human papillomavirus vaccine, but a minor is receiving vaccinations under Chapter 6 of yada, 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 this thing here, then a health care provider shall leave the immunization record in Part 3 blank and shall submit the immunization record directly to the minor's school. The school shall be kept, shall keep this immunization record confidential, except it may share the record with the Department of Health or the school-based health center. You know, the Department of Health, you know, the government gets everything and you don't. And sure as hell not the parents. Wow. 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 We'll talk about the wow when we come back. Are you wowed enough yet? Where do you think this is going?
Freedom's the answer. Freedom's the What's answer. The question? What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock. Ernest Hancock.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Yeah, it's morning in America. Is it morning in America? Is it twilight? Is it afternoon? Is it what is it? I don't know. It's daylight. So let's get, you know, we're getting a lot of daylight on stuff. So let's go ahead and focus a little bit on this bill. What's going on here? Vaccine hesitancy is the greatest health threat to our bank account, so saith the bad guys. You know, if we can't get you to do it or scare you into do it, we're going to make you do it. And you got half of the people going, nah, not so much. And when you have such a big test group like that, it's too obvious. It's like having the Amish not getting vaccinated and the autism, what's that? I mean, you know, see, so it's just, it's, they have to have everybody in, everybody dumbed down, everybody. You know, there was a book I read, I think it was called IQ 86 or something like that. And, you know, you made us dumb. And it was a vaccine, you know, or a virus or something. They released as weaponized. This was in the 80s. I remember reading this. And it made them, it lowered their IQ. That was the intent. So, you know, nothing's been thought of before. And that's just some random science fiction book I had reading about. I don't even know why the hell I read it. You know, it was, you know, of interest to me at the time, whatever it was. I don't remember. And, or that was the name of the virus, and it was Contagion or something like that. It was one of those books. It was about a guy that, as a hobby, I guess, or as a scientist, went around collecting all the strains of the most virulent viruses and bacteria and pathogens. And it would be like, well, we have these miners that got the bubonic whatever the hell in Alaska, and they had the Spanish flu or something, and sneezy, and they got in some trench and they froze to death, and they're in the tundra of, they found them, and kind of, and their lungs would have this virus preserved in their body. So here comes this scientist, ooh, go get me some of that. I'm going to go, you know, get, and then it, you know, it got out and they weaponized it, and what do they call it? Gain of function. Gain of function is to make it more contagious or more, you know, symptomatic or more a weapon. And one of the effects of this is it lowered your IQ. And I'm going, okay. But they wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong. Oh, man. They need you. They need to dumb you down a little bit. They need you dead is what they need. They want you compliant. I guarantee you that. They want whatever that is that causes you to resist. You go, no. Oh, we got to take the no out. It's got to be yes to everything. Yes, we want to be ruled. Yes, we want, you know, well, hopefully what always happens is you'll get a yes to something else. And I go, well, yes, I think I can do that. Yes, I'll go ahead and do that. Yes, but not that way. There's always some side effect. You know, it's unintended. It's just humanity, because to survive, we have to have some primal base of, you know, what we perceive to be in our self-interest. I don't want to be too hot, too cold, you know, whatever. There was one book I remember, a science fiction book. It was called, I think it was Fahrenheit 186 or something like that. And I used to read a lot of, you know, when I was younger and everything, and then, you know, these things all blend together. But it was a science fiction about a android. You have an android that belongs to a guy that a lot of people, their investment was not into their careers or, you know, in doing a good job or being an artist or whatever. They just, you know, buy a robot or robots, and that was their livelihood. You know, how's your robot doing? Oh, it's like my car broke down. I can't go to work today. My robot broke down. I don't get paid today. You know, I got to have a backup robot. You know, I got, you know, Helda. You know, a kitchen robot, you need to fill in for Bruno over here at the, you know, whatever factory, you know, because I got to work on his arm or something. I mean, you know, and then you sit home and play Facebook all day or whatever. Well, this guy, he was having to leave wherever he worked because this robot would go on a murderous rampage every now and then and just kill everybody. And he's like, whoa, I can't afford to find out what that, so they just leave. Then he'd start somewhere else. And then something would happen, and he'd, you know, kill a bunch of people, and he'd go, whoa, we got to move again. You know, this is what I'm seeing, you know, is happening. When they try and change us, it triggers something. There's something that will trigger, and something else, unintended consequence, would happen. They're going to try and make us into robot slaves to do it, but something's going to happen. There's something. It always does. They get one thing, but then they got another problem. They go, oh, well, we're here to solve that problem, too. What finally wound up happening, the reason it was called Fahrenheit 186, is the robots could work in environments humans couldn't, you know, without protective suits and all that kind of stuff. And I think when it got really hot, it was it hit 186 working in some whatever the hell, it flipped some switch in them, and they had a short of whatever, and he'd go on a murderous rampage until they rebooted or whatever the hell happened. You know, as long as time ago. But that was the, you know, the solution to the riddle. Is that when he got to a certain temperature, well, what's going to happen with these vaccines? They're going to trigger a certain temperature. It's going to make you dumber. It's going to make you more violent. It's going to make you more creative. It's going to make you smarter. And all of a sudden, you see God or something. You see the answer to the universe, and you're an X-Men. That's how the X-Men get started. They start doing it. You know, the Boys or something. It's some superhero gone bad, the Homeland Security Netflix stupid thing or whatever. It's pretty good, you know, but it's just kind of, yeah, it's a dark side of superheroes. What would happen if the superheroes really, you know, and what was it? They found out it wasn't a natural thing. It was some chemical vaccine, whatever they did, and these people reacted differently, become superheroes. And then they got superhero power, superhero egos, a superhero, I don't care, and superhero sociopathic of I can do what I want superhero. Then what? You know, it's like the black-suited Spider-Man, the evil guy. This is what they're doing. And how are they going to sell it in the pamphlet? Yeah, be like Spider-Man. In fact, in 2008, 2009, around in there, Marvel Comics, which at the time, I guess it might have been Sony or whatever. Anyway, it was Spider-Man that was promoting vaccination for UNESCO. for the United Nations, you know, their whatever the heck organization, World Health or whatever, they had the promotion of vaccinations by comic book characters. Spider-Man, because it was really popular at the time. You got to get back. We got to have a war on disease. We're going to get it. You're going to get it. Then what do? They give an 11-year-old the power. I can defy my parents, and I'll get the vaccine anyway, because I can. And they won't let me, and they said I could, and I'm going to. Gee, how would they pressure that in and put it in legislation? And what's the parent going to do? You know, I'm just like, ah, well, it's not my kid anymore. I guess it's yours. Peace out. Let me know how it works out. Or do you train your child, you know, to resist? And how much can they resist? And who do they got to resist? How about you just pull your child out of the government schools? I can't keep track of how many reasons to do it. I mean, we did with our oldest. We had four kids, and they left government school when the oldest was in third grade. After a third grade year, I got, no, I can see where this is going. Hell no. Well, but your children are so, yeah, of course. Of course you want my kids in there. The smartest, the greatest, the leaders of the whatever kind of, you know, yeah. And I want to keep them that way. So screw you. Now, when we went in the junior high, started in seventh grade, they went to a Christian private school. But, you know, as much as, you know, they get their own indoctrination from that. But, you know, we're of faith, so I didn't. But I don't like the fear thing they do at all. You know, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And the Lord told me to tell you, you better tuck your shirt in. I mean, literally, that was one of the things. So I'm just going, really? Okay, whatever. But you got to know the parents. You know, the parents, you know, knew us through our kids. They're all friends, and they were active in whatever the hell. And, you know, I'm in the community, you know, political kind of stuff and everything. It wasn't like a secret. So I know guys on the board of the yada, yada, yada. It was a nice school. You know, when state, you know, in their football championships, they took that stuff serious, man. But the parents really controlled it. The parents, because the parents were the one paying. The parents were the ones that were involved. The parent, and you had a safe school. They didn't have lockers. They just left their backpacks in the middle of the quad. They didn't feel like they just, you know, put them up against the post. Heck, I think they had lockers. They just didn't use them. Because nobody would steal anything. They just, you know, didn't care. It was a great experience.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
One more segment, and then we're on to again. You know, we're coming back, you know, a good friend, an activist, just joined Telegram in there, and you go in, I go, oh, there you are. Oh, I see you. I'll make sure you go over here and there and talk to kind of whatever, and we'll be back causing some trouble during the holidays because got to set it up for you. All right, here we go. I want to have some meeting with some, you know, Politico people, kind of an elected of, yeah, we're going to something. You know, I just like, all right. I just want you to know. Before we left, when we first decided to do this, we had the Vaccine Education Summit in September, mid-September of 19, a year ago. I met with some legislators, and they were, they had like five came to the summit and they wanted to whatever. But there was one that I wanted to actually meet with because her husband is a friend that was Institute for Justice, came, you know, whatever, and he's now Arizona Supreme Court Justice, Clint Bolick. Well, his wife, young woman that, you know, just kind of, she was a college student, we'll get some, and so he's enamored with her go-gettingness, and she's got some energy, and she's always running, wants to be political, man. She's not like an activist freedom kind of, it's an activist, I want to be a politician thing. And her name's Shauna, and so she's always running, she got to be a state rep, and I'm going, all right, this is what's going to happen, this is how I always operate. We're going to do this. We're going to make this an issue. This is going to be a big issue. I just want you to know this is an issue, and it's going to be this mandatory vaccination thing, and vaccinations, they're going to have vaccinations. And the vaccine thing, it's going to be a big deal. I know what they're doing. They're going to be pushing. They're going to be making it. It's going to be, oh, my God, 2020 is going to be all about vaccinate. This was in September, early September of 19. So she's like, okay, well, we met at a, you know, Starbucks thing or whatever, and we, you know, did our hour or whatever. And she was not one of the five that went. Oh, I can't make it. And she was like, oh, she knew, man, be messing with Big Pharma. So she's looking down the road long term or something. When I go back, should I even meet with her? Because it came, she had no idea. That they just don't know. They can't. They don't say, yeah, but it's not going to be an approved issue. It's like the freaking issue. I go, so when I go back, I go, how close was I? Do I know what's coming next? Do I know how? What role are you going to play? How low are you going to keep your head ducked? How's this going to work? We should talk to her husband first. Have her come on. Clint, you know, come on the show. What she does as a sitting judge, he'll come on more than she will, you know. So so who do you meet with? Do I talk to them just to kind of get a lay? Like, look, only reason I went, yeah, do what you're going to do, whatever you're going to do. I don't care. Just tell me what's the lay of the land in Arizona. What's the votes? Who's the freedom guy? Where's the one that, you know, the guy sticking, you know, throw me a bone here. Tell me, you know, this guy, this woman, you know, they're crusader of the, okay, cool. Let's do that. And I'll go work with them. You know, at least tell me who is it. See, you know, do you even talk to them? Biggest reason I talk to them is just check off that box, say I did, and tell you guys. But, I mean, you know, I don't really care because we're going to just go straight to the people and then have all their constituents talk to them, explain it to them. So who's going to come up in Arizona? Which legislator? Because there will be one. I guarantee it. That's going to say, yeah, you got to have, you know, we already broke the ice with it with the District of Columbia thing. 11-year-olds could just go in. Yeah, I consent. I want to be stuck with notions and potions. So my mommy and daddy, mean, they're dumb, and they don't do the science, so say at Facebook. Give me a shot. What movies do they watch? Health class, what are they teaching them? You know, you turn your children over to the crown, you get what you get. I'm telling you, the best investment of time, poverty, effort, years of push-starting cars, looking for change and couches, whatever we had to do, you know, working freaking 18-hour days in our restaurant. You know, Donna and I, our family, we don't ever want to go back to, the, you know, them days. That was, man, that was, we busted our butt. But it was during their high school years. It was during junior high school, and it was hard work, and they either were in an extracurricular activity, they were at school, or they were working. You know, none of this you go home, play video game thing. You sit there and do in the dining room, I can see you doing your homework. I even set up an office. We had big bathrooms, you know, because handicap, you have to, whatever, hell, might as well have been in an office, which one of them we made for the employee. We made an office out of it for my kids if they needed to be isolated and not bothered. And so I go, there it is. What do you need? Your desk? Yeah, it's got toilet paper right there. You got, hell, you can use the toilet as a seat. That was bigger than that. But, you know, let's get on it. And a big thing was to demonstrate, you know, one of my sons was kind of struggling and, you know, just didn't have the, whatever it was, I didn't care. I just, you every day, you work on your stuff, will help. You get the time, the place, you do it. One grading period, great. Honor roll does great. Doing, I go, there, done. See, you can do it. Okay, peace out. It's you now. You're an adult at 15, you know, 14, whatever. Just to demonstrate that they can't. Just to, you know, let them know that. And then, because it was a bunch of smart kids, all our kids are really smart, they come out of school and they go, damn, I'm kind of like above the middle here. I'm in the top half. Woohoo! I go, yeah, you guys are. Holy crap. I mean, do you see what, you go to the DMV, everybody's got to go get their license done, go to see what your competition is. You know, I mean, you can't really go to Walmart. I mean, you know, you got the country club crowds got their own Saks Fifth, whatever the hell. But you go to the DMV, everybody's got to go there. This is your competition. Here you go. That's it. Have your children be competitive. Your grandchildren, escape from Dunkirk kind of project. We get them out. You want to see what kind of thing? Defending Archimedes, defending the geniuses of the future. All these things that they criticize on Joe Rogan, Kanye West, for having all these ideas and kind of, you know, doing so many different things or whatever. I go, man, I understand. You know, and I and you set things are important. You get a domain. You get a little. You forward it to whatever. You kind of create and get in the tapestry of them when it's time. It'll be, you know, here we go. I got tons of these. Like the Love Bus was one of those, but I knew this would move it to the front of the pack because I knew what was coming. And so do you. You know, say, Ernie, you know, the only difference is that I do something about it with your help. Because a lot of people, they just can't. They don't have the, you know, the circumstances that they can. They're tied down. They got, there's something, obligation if they don't have a Donna. I have a Donna. You know, so this is what we can do, and this is what you can do to help. You know, just support and forward and whatever. Yeah, send me money. We'll be making a big money thing, kind of, you know, and we did, but look, we did. We didn't, we're not begging for, you know, buy us an RV that we, so we can go and kind of do, no, we go do it. We demonstrate, we build it and they'll come. It's done, it's ready, it's good, and we're going to go. Now, after this election, this is the mission. Now is the time. Now. What are we going to do? We have the guy, Mike Roth, coming in court. You know, he was one of the, just like a lot of you guys. You know, I talk to him. There's always that one guy that's willing to, you know, get in the arena with these guys and go, no, I mean, you're not, you don't scare me. I'm gonna bring it on. They go, oh yeah, boom, 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 every which way they can. So I don't engage them. I don't waste time and energy on them. Why am I trying to convince them? Screw them. It's you. It's just the people. It's just general public opinion. What did we learn from this? How did we learn something? Who did what? What are we going to do? Donna doesn't like it. Now we got to go back to Arizona and try and carve out a leave me aloneism or the future or grandkid thing. She's like, no, I can't we be retired on vacation like some of our friends? And I go, eh, we're going to try. You know, I just want to be left alone. They can make that deal with me. You know, and my neighbors, my friends, and my, you know, children and my grandchildren, they just leave us all alone. And that would be good. How likely you think that is? They, it's so inevitable what's coming. They have to harass us and eat out our substance to make their crap work for them. They don't give a crap about you. You're just an excuse. You know, my favorite meme on Trump is like, they're not after me. They're after you. I'm just in the way. You know? Now, how much in the way he is or not, it's a whole other subject. But, you know, here it comes. Here it comes. You know, Monday, the day before the election, probably got to do it Monday. You know, then, of course, got to do the election. Yeah, got to do the day after the election. So at least we're doing, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week, probably. You know, certainly Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe Monday, Halloween. But, you know, yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff over the weekend. A lot of stuff. I wonder what the percentage is of people that haven't voted yet that actually go in the last day. I wonder, you know, the Democrats' big push to vote for Biden was, you know, before October, before all the crap came out. You know, I don't know. I don't trust the system. I so don't trust it. I trust people to act in what they perceive to be their best interest. They just keep changing it. They want to get you now at 11.